This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Genesis 39 says this, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now the Lord was with Joseph, for he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Now look what verse 23 says. It says, "The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him." I want you to get that. Because the Lord was with him. And then the word says, "And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today that you will make our tongue a ready writer's pen. But I pray, Holy Spirit, it's vanity for me to try to speak to people's ears if you're not speaking to their hearts. So Holy Spirit, speak to people's hearts. And God, for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer, asking for your anointing. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today, message number two on this series, Healing for the Hurting. I want to talk to you about pain and prosperity. I've never preached a message like this before. Pain and prosperity. And I thought about when I came up with that title, or felt like that was the title that God wanted me to share, I thought, that's really an oxymoron. I said, you think about it, pain and prosperity just don't go together. An oxymoron, when two words don't go together. You said, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about like jumbo shrimp. It just don't really go together, amen? I mean, think about it. Crash landing. It just really don't go together. Small crowd. Well, it really just don't go together. Living dead. It really just don't go together. Georgia Tech football. It really just don't go together. Amen. Pain and prosperity. It reminds me of the story of two men that were stranded on a deserted island. I mean, they were just stranded. And one guy was just tranquil. He was just so calm. And the other guy, I mean, he was pins and needles. I mean, he was just so nerve-driven and just so anxiety-driven. And finally, after about 3 days, the man that was anxiety-driven, he looked over at his friend and said, "We've been out here 3 days, and you're just as calm as can be." He said, we're stranded. He said, "How on earth?" He said, "Well, you got to understand, I'm a Christian." Oh, but he said, "There's more to it than that." He said, "Not only am I a Christian, but," he said, "I'm extremely, extremely wealthy." He said, "Tell me about it." He said, I'm a multimillionaire." He said, "I make $1 million every year." He said, "Well, that's good, but I still," he said, "I know you make $1 million a year," but he said, "There's just palm trees and coconuts. I really don't see how that's real relevant." He said, "Sir, you don't understand." He said, "I'm a Christian. I'm a multi-millionaire. I make over $1 million a year." And he said, "Thirdly, I'm a tither." And he said, "My pastor will find me." Now let me tell you the story about pain and prosperity. We have a man by the name of Joseph. And there was a sibling rivalry between Joseph and his brothers. Actually, the brothers were jealous of him. They were very jealous of Joseph. And the Bible says one day at a secluded place, they put him in a pit. I mean, here he's in this pit. But one brother says, no. Let's don't leave him. Let's don't leave him in the pit. Let's sell him. And the Bible says they sold him for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites. And then a man by the name of Potiphar, who's a leader in the Egyptian army, buys him from the Ishmaelites. He buys him, and he becomes his slave. Now, I want you to get this, folks. He's a slave, but yet the Bible says he was a prosperous man. Now, wait. He's a slave, but yet he's a prosperous man. Now, what's interesting, he's working in Potiphar's house. And one day, Potiphar's wife comes through. And she's wearing a biblical dress. Lo and behold. She's wearing a biblical dress. And she makes advances at Joseph. And Joseph is not interested. He said, that would be sin. I can't do that. And she falsely accuses Joseph. And Joseph ends up in prison. He ends up in prison. But look what God's word says. It says, because the Lord was with him and that which he did. Look, the Lord made it to prosper. He's in prison, but yet he's prospering. See, I think, folks, the church, for the most part, we've made prospering and prosperity a bad word. But what does prospering mean? In the Greek, this is what it means. It means to help somebody down the road. To help somebody down the road. Folks, it's not wrong to possess things. It's wrong when things possess us. And when God blesses us, he always has more than us in mind. 63 times in the Old Testament, the word prosper, or a form of that word, is used. The Bible says in John, 3 John 1 and 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. A few years ago, I went out to Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and I had lunch with a man by the name of David Green. He and his wife Barbara started Hobby Lobby. I said to Mr. Green, my wife helped to make you a very rich man. And I said to David Green, tell me your story. He said, well, preacher, I'll tell you my story. He said, my daddy was a pastor. But he said he never pastored a church bigger than 35 people. Never bigger than 35 people. And he said, all of my siblings went into the ministry. Some of them are preachers, and some of them married somebody that's preaching. They were five of them. And he said, I was pressured, Brother Benny, to do what you're doing. But he said, that wasn't the call that God placed on my life. He said, God called me to be a businessman. And his net worth is $13.7 billion. So he's done pretty well. He said, let me tell you what I did, Pastor. He said, I followed the Lord. And I went into business. And he said, now I fund the ministry of all of my siblings. He said, preacher, 50% of all of our profits go to ministry. He said, let me tell you what we're building. He said, we're building something that's going to cost us $500 million. I said, what are you building? He said, we're building a museum of the Bible. He said, because preacher, you've got to understand something. There are only two things that are going to last forever. And that's the Word of God and the souls of men and women. Folks, I want you to understand something. When God blesses you, He doesn't bless you to raise your standard of living. When God blesses you, He blesses you to raise your standard of giving. God blesses you, and when He blesses you, He has more than you in mind. I remember a few years ago when COVID happened, I said to Barbara, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. And she was in total agreement. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to increase our giving. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to increase our giving. Because Barbara, Rock Springs Church is not our source. No company's our source. God is our source. God is our source. God is our source. And I walked into that financial office, and I said to that financial office, don't you cut our giving to the poor. Don't you cut our giving to missionaries. Don't you cut our giving to churches. Don't you cut our giving to the less fortunate people. We need to give more right now than we've ever given before, because God is our source. God is our provider. Now get this, folks. Now when I talk about prosperity and giving, some of you have already tuned me out. Because when it comes to giving, some people stop at nothing. But when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm talking about prosperity in your relationships. I'm talking about prosperity in your health. I'm talking about prosperity in your emotions. I'm talking about prosperity in your opportunities. I'm talking about prosperity in your finances. I'm talking about prosperity in your experiences. I love what Warren Buffett said. He knew a little bit about finances. Warren Buffett said, success is getting what you want. Happiness is wanting what you get. Success is getting what you want. Happiness is wanting what you get. I want to make four quick statements. I don't know about the quick, but I'll make four statements. Statement number one. The key to prosperity is the presence of God. I want you to understand something today. The Bible never one time says that you won't have trouble. Job, as a matter of fact, the Bible teaches the antithesis of that. The Bible teaches in Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. The Bible teaches that in this world you're going to have tribulation. It never teaches, ladies and gentlemen, that you won't have troubles in your life. In Genesis 39, Joseph was sold. He was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. He was sold by the Ishmaelites to Potiphar. He was a slave. But I want you to see something. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Get this, folks. The key to prosperity in your life is the presence of the Lord. Now you say, well, wait, Pastor Benny. God's omniscient. God's everywhere. I'm not talking about that type of presence. I'm talking about the manifested presence of God in your life. I'm talking about the manifested presence of God. See, Joseph was working as a slave. But look what verse 3 says. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about when you're in school And your classmates can look and say, there's something different about him. When you're in that hospital and the employees say, there's something different about her. When you're at that factory and the men say, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about that man. This pagan, lost Egyptian saw something in Joseph. And it was the fact that the Lord was with him. You got to understand something, folks. It's very simple, but you've got to understand the key to prosperity. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Look here. The key to prosperity is the presence of the Lord. The key to prosperity is the presence of the Lord in your life. Now wait, there's a second thing I want you to see. The key to the presence of God is obedience. The key to the presence of God is obedience. Well, see, it's in Genesis 39, verse 9. She said, Jojo. She came bouncing through there. Jojo, lie with me. He said, no, 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 no. Jojo says, no, no. I can't do it. I can't do it. Now look what the next verse says, or verse 23 says. Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph. Always remember, you said, Pastor, I want the manifested presence of God in my life. The manifested presence of God comes with obedience. Isaiah 1 and 19 says, look, if you be willing, that has to do with your attitude. And obedient, that has to do with your action. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Many of you have given your life to Christ, but you've never even followed him in believer's baptism, where you're living a life of disobedience. Because it's the first thing that God told us to do. You're living a life of disobedience because it's the first thing that God told you to do. Many of you today, you're watching me and you say, oh, Pastor Benny, I watch you online. Well, I'm grateful you do. But you got to understand, Hebrews 10 and 25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If you're not going to the house of God and you're able to go to the house of God, you're living a life of disobedience. Because God tells us today is the Lord's day. It's not your day, by the way. It's not, hey, you say, it's not golf day. It's not hunting day. It's not fishing day. It's not travel ball day. Today is the Lord's day. Look here, folks. Look what 1 Samuel 18:12 says. And Saul was afraid of David. Wait. Because the Lord was with him. And he departed from Saul. Why did he depart from Saul? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? See, God told Saul to do something concerning the Amalekites. But he spared Agag and the best of the flock. He disobeyed the Lord. And he didn't repent, but rather he tried to justify his actions. And the manifested presence of God was no longer with him. So you got to understand something. Come up real close, folks. Obedience is what brings the presence of God in your life. You want the manifested presence of God in your life? You've got to be obedient. You've got to do the next right thing. You want the manifested presence of God in your life? You've got to say, I'm going to be obedient. Charles Stanley said, you obey God and you leave the consequences to Him. You obey God and you leave the consequences to Him. For some, that may mean getting out of a relationship. For some, it may mean getting in a relationship. For some, it may be making decisions concerning this or concerning that. But I want you to know this. Obedience is the key to the presence of God in your life. We're having some fun with oxymorons. Let me tell you an oxymoron. No, Lord. That's an oxymoron. Because see, if He's Lord and He tells us to do something, we don't tell Him no, or He's not Lord. Amen? No, we don't. If He tells us to do something, He's not Lord if we're telling Him no. Hey, we're going to be real simple, folks. The key to prosperity is the presence of God. The key to the presence of God is obedience. Goodness gracious. The key to obedience is faith. Let me explain. Am I going to trust God or not? Am I going to trust God or not? Because the key to obedience is faith. Look, can I have faith to do what God says concerning my job? Can I have faith to do what God says concerning relationships? Can I have faith to do what God says concerning my finances? You got to understand. You say, well, I'm not obeying Him. I'll tell you why you're not obeying Him. Because you don't trust Him. Because if you trusted God, you would obey Him. If you trusted God, you would be doing what He says. I'm sorry, folks, but I'm just preaching the truth. The key to obedience is faith. I wish you could come to my house sometime. I have a place where I go pray. I have a stump out there, and I go out there and pray. You say, well, Brother Benny, people seeing you, I don't care what they think. I mean this, I don't mean it the wrong way. I really don't care, folks, because, listen, I want to please God. And when you please God, it doesn't matter who you don't please, but if you don't please God, it doesn't matter who you do please. I want to please God. Goodness gracious, I hope that's your attitude, that you want to please God and not you're enamored and caught up with public opinion and what somebody else may say and what somebody else may think and how many likes you have on Facebook. Who cares? You said, Preacher Benny, why do you have a stump with a Bible on top of it? I'll tell you why. Because when Billy Graham was a young preacher, he said, I started questioning the validity of the Word of God. He said, I got to associating with some people, and I wondered, could I really trust God's word? I got to associating with the wrong people, folks. Let me tell you something. You get associating with the wrong people, you get in trouble. You tell me what you're watching, and you tell me who you're associating with, and I'll tell you what your future is. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Billy Graham said, I began to question the validity of the Word of God. He said, one day out in the woods, I knelt by a stump. And he said, I don't understand it, God. I don't understand everything about the Bible. Everything in it doesn't make sense to me. But he said, from this day forward, I'm going to believe it. And he put his Bible on a stump, and he said, from this day forward, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it from the beginning to the end. From this day forward, I'm going to believe it. And he said, I got up from that stump, and I started preaching. And from that point on, I started saying, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible, oh, glory be to God, the Bible says. Get what I'm saying, folks? The key to prosperity is the presence of God. The key to the presence of God is obedience. The key to obedience is faith. The key to faith is hearing the word. The key to faith is hearing the word. D.L. Moody said, quit praying for faith. He said, quit praying for faith. Rather than praying for faith, he said, pick up your Bible. Because Romans 10 and 17 says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why, folks, I challenge people. You need to be in church because you need the word of God. You need to be in church because you need to be in God's house because you need to hear the word of God. Now, let me tell you something. Preaching the word, I take as a great responsibility. I'll share a joke. I'll have fun. I'll tell a story. But I want to make sure every Sunday that there's plenty of the Bible in the sermon, that there's an abundance of the word of God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, all that's going to build your faith is the word of God. It's the only thing that's going to build your faith, the word of God. That's why I challenge you to get in a life group. I challenge you to get in personal Bible study. Because the only thing that's going to build your faith is the word of God. Understand, the key to prosperity is the presence of God. The key to the presence of God is you obeying God and leaving the consequences to Him. The key to obedience is faith. Are we going to trust God or not? And the key to faith is hearing the word. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I'm almost done. But if I don't fill in these blanks, the melancholics will go crazy. When Joseph was 17, he had a dream. When he was 17, he had a dream. But he went through a lot of hardships. He was sold by his brothers. He was falsely accused. He was betrayed by a baker in prison. He went through a lot of hardships. And years later, his dream became a reality. I want to make four quick statements. Statement number one, don't you give up on your dream. Don't you give up on your dream. He was 17 when he got the dream, but he was 30 before it became a reality. Great it is to dream a dream when you stand at youth by a starry stream. But greater still is to fight life through and say in the end, the dream is true. Don't you give up on your dream. Whatever that dream is. Your dream, you said, Pastor Benny, my dream is for a godly man. Well, don't you settle for anything less. Don't you settle for anything less. You say, well, I'm going to this club. No, no, you stay out of that club. You say, well, the odds are good. Yes, but the goods are odd. You stay out of that club. You stick in there and you seek for a godly young man. You seek for a godly young lady. Don't you ever give up on the dream. That dream that God's placed in your heart, don't you ever give up on the dream. There's no joy in easy sailing when skies are clear and blue, nor is there joy in doing what anyone can do. But there is some satisfaction. It's mighty sweet to take when you reach that destination that no one ever thought you'd make. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you stay in there. You seek a godly man. some jackleg rascal you don't need. If he don't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need him. You don't need her. You stay in there till you can get a godly person. You say, oh, but she's a brick house. Well, let me tell you, after a little while, she'll just be a house. You say, oh, but he's a hunk. Yeah, and after a little while, he'll just be a chunk. Amen? You just hang in there. Look, it's not this, folks. It's what's on the inside that counts. It's what's on the inside that counts. I used to tell Savannah Abigail, she didn't do everything I told her. I remember when she went to the prom the very first time. Very first she went to the prom. Little guy came over to our house. I said, before you go, let me take a picture of you. And I reached my hand in my pocket and I pulled out my 38. I said, oh no, wrong pocket. Wrong pocket. I don't know if she did it, but I said, Savannah, take your Bible with you. No, Daddy. I said, no, Savannah, take your Bible. I promise I did this. Why, Daddy? Put that Bible between you and him. He can crawl over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't need him no way. Don't give up on your dream. I'm preaching to somebody today. This is a word in season for somebody. Don't you give up on your dream. You're not done. You're not, you say, I've messed up. Listen, don't you give up on your dream. Don't give up. Don't give an alibi. Give another try. Just get up and go at it again. Number two. Help others with their dreams. You said, Pastor, I'm in a standstill. Now, let me give you a word. Before Joseph's dream came true, he had to help a baker, a butler, and Pharaoh with their dreams. Before his dream came true, he had to help a baker, a butler, and a Pharaoh. You say, I don't know what to do. Help somebody else with their dream. Help somebody else with their dream. Folks, let me tell you, there's a reason why 85% of pink ladies have no emotional problems. You mean 85% of pink ladies? I may get me one of those pink coats. Have no emotional problems. You say, oh, Pastor, help me out. I'll be glad to. Their focus is on somebody else rather than themselves. Their focus is on somebody else rather than themselves. Number three, forgiveness is a must. See, the baker did him wrong. His brothers did him wrong. But look what he said. Joseph said, I've got two sons. I'm going to name that first boy. I'm going to name him Manasseh, which means forgetfulness. He said, I'm going to name that second one Ephraim, which means fruitfulness. Always remember this. There has to be forgetfulness before there'll be fruitfulness. The reason why God can't bless some of us is we won't let things go. We keep holding on to things, but we're going to have to let it go. We're going to have to let it go. God can't bless you like he wants to bless you until you let go what's happened to you. You got to let it go. You say, Pastor, it's somebody close to me. It always is. But you've got to let it go. And then number four, trust the plan of God. It's in Genesis 15, 20. Joseph said, guys, you all sold me. But I ended up as the second most powerful man in Egypt. By the way, you study the children of Israel. Here's the thought. Do you ever wonder how they got to Egypt? Today, That's the story. They got there because of JoJo. That's how they got in Egypt. And he said, boys, what you all meant for evil, God meant for good. What the devil tried to use to destroy you, God said, no, I'm going to use it for good. What the world meant for bad, God said, no, I'm going to use it. Can we just give him praise? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand. Everybody stand.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.